The following podcast contains explicit language and opinion. My name's Reese Jarrett.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Brett.
And this is The Raw Cut. G'day everybody and welcome to the first episode of The Raw Cut for 2015.
Woo!
Yes!
You almost said 14 though.
No, I didn't say 2014. I said 2015, you silly.
It's 2015, Brett, get with the picture.
Get with the picture!
Sorry, last year.
Oh, my bad.
So, did any of you listen to my last episode?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so what happened?
Things you talked about things instead of opinions.
So for the people who are listening and feeling slightly bewildered by right now, we have got the pranksters with us.
Mm-hmm.
So who's here? So we've got Sarah and we've got Brett from Pranks for Kids Arthritis, which I'm also involved in.
That's right, you are. You're the cameraman. You're the one that edits and puts it all on YouTube for us.
So how's it going in that realm?
It's going great. Yes, we are slowly getting more people going onto our YouTube to create more awareness that kids get arthritis.
Yes, that sounds a lot better now because your microphone's turned in the right way.
Ah. I don't know these things.
I only just noticed that. It's like, Sarah's microphone's turned in the wrong way. Brett, what have you been doing in the cause?
Presenting.
Presenting?
A lot.
A lot?
I'm very funny. And I pull a lot of pranks on Sarah.
Ah,
which will be coming up very soon.
That's always very fun, pulling pranks on Sarah.
It's not really fun, and Brett isn't funny at all.
I mean, that car was very, very fun, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for taking my car.
It's very fast.
It's awesome.
So, you want to get into some politics, because this is a political show. We talk about a bit of politics, so you want to get into it?
Yes, we've got to get away from the fun of pranks sometimes.
Okay, so let's get into it.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother...
Offence and causing offence shouldn't be justification to be taken to court and to shut down freedom of speech in this country.
Political communication can include insults, okay?
There's cartoons which depict, you know, him in the middle of a sex act. How could that not be offensive to somebody who holds that the character of that individual central to the whole belief?
Well, Mr. President, people do have a right to be bigots, you know.
And I think the government did a terrible job of trying to sell it by focusing on the right to be a bigot.
The solution is not censorship, and that is what we have, at least in part, for some of the images in Charlie Hebdo in Australia, and that should be removed.
I will not sit by and let you enslave my country, murder and rape my people. That's representative, unfortunately, of a particular view out in the community.
From Monday, doctors will get $20 less for appointments shorter than 10 minutes.
This is a dreadful move, which will see hospital waiting lists increase. It'll see GPs stop bulk billing. It'll see sick people put off going to the doctor.
The best way of summing up the government's changes on Medicare is that their condition is terminal.
Yesterday, the Prime Minister said that this is about improving quality. It's actually not. It's really about trying to pull back over $1 billion into the budget. That is their first priority there.
I'm announcing today that the changes to Level A and B Medicare consultation items will not commence on Monday as planned. The government is taking them off the table.
So that was the week in politics. This week, week two of 2014. Second full week. So there we heard Medicare at the end of it, which was probably the biggest news in politics at the beginning of this week. And what happened is that earlier in the week, the Prime Minister announced a $20 cut to the fee that gets paid for GPs when you go to appointments that are under 10 minutes. So they decided to cut that fee. And then later in the week, Susan Ley, which is the new health minister that just came on, took off that policy off the table in favour for consulting with the medical profession, as they should have done in the first place. So it's a bit of a backflip. I don't know why she didn't try to consult with the people that actually know what they're talking about.
first. That's right. Politicians aren't doctors. Don't try to be one.
Yeah. She should have, in the first place, like, actually talked to the people that knew about what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It just doesn't understand. I can't click to why that she... Oh, it's a reoccurring thing that just keeps on happening with the government over and over again. They come up with some policy that is purely shithouse, and then they just go, oh, crap, we're all wrong. It's just like... It's like they're on drugs or something.
Doesn't make sense a lot of the time, does it?
No, it's annoying. But the PM's big thing with this policy was to try and stop the so-called six-minute medicines. That's what they called it. It's what they call the patients going in for 6 minutes at a time or something.
They go in to get prescriptions.
Well, they do which is a very important thing. People need to get their drugs.
That's right. Well,
the healthy drugs, not the ones that get you high.
That's right, they're healthy drugs. Yeah, I was having this conversation last night with a couple of friends. We were thinking, who goes in for 10 minutes at a time? Why would you go to the doctor for 10 minutes? Like, when I go to the doctor with my arthritis, it's like half an hour, 45 minutes. But they were saying that when they go to the doctor, it is just to get a prescription, whether it be a prescription for Panadol or something like that, for an anti-inflammatory. And that is always an in-and-out job.
Mm.
You just go in.
Yeah, yeah.
The doctor already knows you if you're seeing somebody you've already seen, you know, for 10, 20 years. And you just go in and grab your prescription and then you come back out again. So, yeah, that would take less than 10 minutes. But really, most of the time, it would take longer. Like, doctors book appointments for 15 minutes or half an hour. You don't normally book them for 10 minutes.
Or 6 minutes.
Or 6 minutes, for that fact.
The 6 minute.
Obviously, these politicians have way too much money to go to the doctor. They get somebody else to do it for them. And it only takes 6 minutes. Probably 5.5 minutes for their little master to go get it for them or whatever.
The little master.
Yeah.
I think
little
what
midget
they...
thing the little walks in there.
Hello. Small person. Hello.
I need Mr. Abbott's drugs. See, this is why I'm the funny one doing the pranks, not Brett.
You need a Mario jump and a ding. You need a ding for that.
Ding.
But seriously, the government has just done a royal
fuck it
with this policy. They've just done it so badly.
Why couldn't they just leave it how it was?
I don't know.
To the doctor and you get... Well, I get bulk billed, obviously, because I have arthritis thing. But other people, you just go there and you have your appointment and then Medicare takes a part of what you paid and then you pay the rest.
And like $20, it wasn't a little fee that they're just taking away.
No, that's a lot.
And the reason what they're doing, and they're not actually charging the fee to the patients directly.
No.
They're taking the fee that the doctor gets paid for that service by Medicare.
That's right. Yeah.
So they're actually cutting the pay of doctors by proposing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have just ended up in the doctors forcing the patients that come in just to... make up for that extra...
That's right.
Extra time.
Start booking them for longer and keep them in there longer, as sad as that may sound, just so they don't get that. But I just think it's silly. Mm. They're just trying to now get cash any way possible.
Trying to save money wherever they can.
That's right. And it's stupid and they're making
a
fuss over nothing.
And they're not thinking about it. It's just like, here.
Yeah.
We're just going to grab everywhere.
Here's a way to get
I'm just going to fill everything
cash
up.
No. I don't think it'll stay. Mm. And if they're going to realise that it's not going to do anything.
Well, it hasn't stayed because if you heard at the end of that clip, Susan Ley just did a backflip and also explained
and got rid of it.
And got rid of it for a more consultative process, apparently. They want to still do something. So I'm still a little bit edgy. But
whatever they do, it won't stick around. That's what I'm meaning. Like, even if they bring it back or make it more or make it less.
The reason that they can put this change in right now without the Parliament, because it's regulation. It's because it's a regulation that the government itself that can control over Medicare. And the only way that the Parliament has any say in it is if the Senate blocks it, because I think the Senate has the power to block certain regulations that the government inserts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a bit rude because they're deliberately going past the parliamentary process to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
But Nick Xenophon had a little bit more to say on the 7:30 program.
Go, Nick.
Yes.
Nick is awesome.
He had a little bit more to say on the 7:30 program about this whole six-minute thing and the whole Medicare, what's happening.
We keep hearing about so-called six-minute medicine. In your conversations with South Australians, do you think that short consultations are a front-of-mind concern when people think about what they're concerned about in terms of healthcare?
Look, I think that South Australians, it is not front of mind, but it was front of mind for doctors who could see that the way the government had tried to implement this change was quite clumsy. It was actually going to cause more problems, huge administrative issues for doctors' rooms, and it showed a lack of understanding as to how doctors operate. So I think that the problem here has been six-minute policy making by the government, which has caused all sorts of problems for it. So I'd like to think that there will be an opportunity for everyone to take a deep breath and for the government to sit down collaboratively with the medical profession and the hospital system to see where we can drive reforms. And those countries that actually have a greater emphasis in terms of preventative and primary health care get better outcomes for patients and a better outcome for the taxpayer.
Yeah, so it's... He has a very logical view on this.
He's so funny, though. He, like, used that six-minute healthcare thing and changed it around to make it funny. Oh, we should get him on Pranks Kids Arthritis. It'd be hilarious. Yes.
He'll be so funny.
I've got a better idea. Why don't we prank him?
Oh.
Yes,
we could. You know that little car that he used to publicise his election in? That's the same clip that they keep on rolling over and over again when they have an ad with him in it, is that he has this little car. It's like a little kid's car. He's sitting it.
Oh, yeah.
His ass is only in it and his legs are hanging out of it and he's trying to drive around with it, around Rundle Mall or something. I think we need to steal his car. I think that'll be a good way to prank him.
Yeah, and just end up in prison and a criminal record and just ruin any sort of voluntary work that I ever want to do.
Oh, it would be planned, of course. We would have to get his...
permission.
...wife on board or something.
Or we could just get one that's similar and just drag him down Rundle Mall.
Yes.
I could fit in one of those cars.
I'm sure you could. You're very small. You're very tiny.
Very small person.
Yeah, but not as small as little Tony Abbott's master.
Oh, Tony
Abbott. Hello.
We actually don't know if he has one, but if he did, we're imagining what it might be.
I'm sure he does.
Hey,
he's got a little midget butler.
We need a stakeout Kirribilli House. Next time we go to Canberra, stakeout Kirribilli House. Or was it Sydney?
Sydney.
Bugger, that's...
It's even further away.
I think there's two. There's one in Canberra and there's one in Sydney. There's two residences. So, you know, the guy who's running the country gets two very nice houses while everyone else is in shit.
That's right. Everybody else lives in Davern Park. Anyway, Tony Abbott's little master midget man, we're coming for you. Watch out.
Oh, watch out, boy. Watch out.
You've been warned.
So, after the Charlie Hebdo attacks in Paris this week, the 18C thing got... stirred in the pot again, thanks to Corey Bernardi. And for people who don't know what the 18C law is, it's in the Discrimination Act.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically disallows anyone to discriminate or humiliate or offend anyone based on their race, gender, all those type of things. And they're all talking about... So this is what Corey Bernardi is getting on his office hooter about.
Some Australian politicians are now using the deaths of the Charlie Hebdo journalists to argue that freedom is under attack in Australia too, through Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act, which outlaws hate speech.
What's been demonstrated by the horrific acts that have occurred in France has been the outpouring of people from right around the world that believe that freedom of expression is important, that we should be in a position to express views that others don't like, and they should be counted in the court of public opinion. There's never an excuse for violence. There's never an excuse to say we're going to be cowed into silence or bullied or beaten or bludgeoned into silence. And so that's why I support freedom of speech in this country.
And so they're muddying the issue again, because what they are really saying is they're off about the Charlie Hebdo cartoons. They're saying they will not be able to be published in Australia because of this law. And so Tim Wilson, the Human Rights Commissioner, I get very annoyed by him. He's that extreme right-wing guy. He always pops up on the ABC from time to time. And guess he's tooting his trumpet again. He's going off about this same law again about how you can't publish the cartoons.
But the attack in France has propelled ATNC back into the national debate.
What we know is that many cartoons that Charlie Hebdo produced would not have been republishable in Australia, and we need to identify very clearly about whether we actually believe in free speech. And one of the best ways to do that is to amend the laws that make it unlawful to offend or insult.
They're just muddying this whole law again. They're scaring people, just stupidly scaring people here. And so here's 7:30's Louise Milligan, the reporter for this story, clearing up the facts.
Section 18C makes it illegal to offend, insult, intimidate or humiliate a person based on their race, colour or ethnicity. Notably, it does not include religion, and so the Charlie Hebdo cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad would not be banned in Australia.
But the race-based cartoons in Charlie Hebdo would be banned here. The professional pot stirrers who lost their lives in the name of satire did not confine their jibes to religion. Racial stereotypes like this Jewish caricature were also fair game. And there was the French black politician depicted as a monkey, their comment on racism in France.
Why can't these right-wingers just stop scaring people and just taking the whole issue to stupidity?
They're just exploding it and making it bigger than what it needs to be. Get over it. So what if somebody wants to draw some cartoons that may or may not mean something, offend somebody? Just live with it. You're talking about free speech. That's free speech. But I know it goes into more depth, but the guy was talking about Australia and having free speech and stuff. But that's what YouTube is. What Facebook is.
These right-wingers, these idiots, are just muddying the waters here, trying to say that you cannot publish these religious-based cartoons because of quite simply that they're against a race. But religion isn't a race. And that is stated in the law, is that you can actually humiliate and offend people based on their religion. That's allowed in the law. And what they're trying to mix these two issues up, what this law is specifically about is stopping people getting humiliated, being vilified on the street just because their color, skin color, is black. This is what that law is about. It's just, I cannot get over why they want to get rid of this law, because they're just trying to muddy these two different issues together, and it's just really ticking me off. What do you guys think?
I think it grinds your gears.
Grinds Reese's gears. That's right. Definitely grinds Reese's gears. You have to think about it. You know, you've got, you know, the older generation, our parents or older than our parents, that, you know, if they've brought up in a, you know, I say white Australia, I suppose. Excuse me, that's not true. That's really mean towards my mother, who totally disagree or don't like anybody who's not the same as us, I suppose, is a way to put it.
What I'm saying, you know, is she's not used to it.
She's not used to it. She doesn't like it.
That everyone who is African or Sudanese.
See?
We're bringing up tough issues
This is why
he's
not the funny one. So obviously, yes, living where I live, I'm not brought up with this. Sarah. That's right. Brett used to go to school with lots of different races and cultures.
I was brought up in the suburbs.
And I did not, being in my little country town, anybody who lives in a little country town would know that everybody...
is Caucasian.
It's the same. You know, it's Caucasian, whatever. Trying not to, like, say wrong words here. You know, everybody...
We did have a warning at the start. Wasn't that what that's for?
It's for opinion.
That's right. But, yeah, so I suppose I've been brought up that way. But as my mother and other people of the older generation say is that we're just used to it. We're used to seeing people walk around in burqas, and we're used to having friends that aren't Caucasian, like you like to say, Brett. You know, we're used to it. But they are not, and they don't like it. They think that they're all coming in and taking over Australia and all this stuff. Yes, yes, like that.
And that is all because of these right-wingers. The right-wingers. Oh, I keep on saying it wrong.
I'm saying it wrong. It's okay.
You need a good mouth exercise.
Okay, ready?
People just joining in on this podcast, like halfway through, and wondering what they're listening to.
Welcome to the sounds of Sarah Hammond.
Hello, everybody.
I think that was a mix between David Attenborough and Jeremy Clarkson. I wasn't sure.
Oh, no, I like Ferraris. I do not. Anyway, yeah, so going back to what we were talking about, it is different, and we are brought up in a culture that is different, where we have free speech, like we have social media, where we can go on, and if we don't like a pie that we brought from a pie shop, we can go on to social media and we can complain about it.
That's a very interesting comparison.
Or we could complain about any telephone companies that we don't
That's
like
right.
On, yes,
on
yes.
their public
Very
wall.
Good point.
We can complain about anything on social media. Hair. You can complain about my hair. And if enough people care about it, they can do something, meaning like they can stop going to that pie shop because I said that the pies are crappy, or if I said that the pies were good, then more people might go to the pie shop because they've seen that somebody has said something nice. Yes, the power of social media.
Do you think we should be able to offend people based on something like skin color or a physical aberration or something?
I think it happens.
I think it's about hate crime as well and stuff like that. Putting graffiti up that says, you know, get out of the town or something like that, you know.
Do you think that should be illegal? Do you think, is that right?
I think that's
wrong.
That should be illegal. I don't see any reason why people should be, well, graffitiing's illegal in the first place, but
people should be hating on one another. But then we do live in Australia and we do have freedom of speech, and so if you want to go graffiti a wall, that's your choice, so you have to deal with the consequences. But you can write something to show your anger, just like if you wrote something on social media to show your anger towards something to let everybody know, but you've got to deal with the fact that with freedom of speech does come the consequences of whatever that may be of whatever you graffiti on.
But should
people are allowed to have opinions, I think we should obviously never.
But should freedom of speech extend to almost vilifying people because of a certain thing that they can't change themselves, like a physical aberration, colour, all those sorts of things? Should they be allowed, people be allowed to do that?
Obviously not, but people still do it because we're Australians.
So basically, Sorry. 18C is what we all agree with. We actually all agree with 18C. So,
we all agree, but trying to implement it is like telling fat people not to go to Macca's because they're going to get fatter. They're not going to stop because they like it. Yes, I'm also a personal trainer,
yeah,
so
I
can
say
that. But yes, no, but I'm serious.
We have
that's
a bias
what it means.
Here.
That's a good way to explain it. You can't... if you,
in a personal trainer.
If you
mind.
Can't enforce
Any
it...
Any personal trainers out there? Listen to Sarah.
Then
you guys must think the same.
Oh.
Fat people and Macca's.
Sarah's business comes from.
I live in a country town. There is no bus route outlet. Yeah. There's not even a traffic light.
There is one down the road. About 10 minutes, isn't there? You have a slightly bigger town than your own.
Yes. Yes, we do. And there's a fast food restaurant there. I thought you were talking about the bakery. Sort of fast food restaurant. It's pastries.
There's a difference.
Well, there's a difference.
Start from eating too many pies too.
There's a very large difference between pies and McDonald's.
Especially to a country person.
Yeah. Anyway, so, not enough about comparing fat people to eating unhealthy all the time.
What about where someone lives? Can I complain about Sarah being a country bumpkin?
There's nothing
Is
wrong
that
with liking
speech?
Cows.
So I can say.
I feel offended. I live in the hills too.
I'm on the outside of here.
That's right.
Suburbs.
That's right. Suburban life.
The eastern suburbs of Adelaide.
Yeah. Faster broadband.
I know that's city slicker.
Hills people.
That's right. Go back to where you came from. Go back down the hill.
Down the hill you go.
Only people who know Adelaide would understand what we're talking about.
Well, there's a hill, and then there's people that live on top of the hill, and then there's people that live below the hill. That's the whole
to totally go off track here, Reese. What do you call the bit down the bottom of the hill off of the freeway? What do you call that?
They're city slickers. They're
no,
in
no,
the...
no. I'm not telling you to tell me what the people are. What do you call that? Do you call that, like, if you're going into Adelaide CBD, do you what do
this
you tell
is really
people?
Really off topic now.
What do you tell people?
I say they're going down Glen Osmond Road.
Okay, so when I go down the bottom of the hill, I tell people I'm going to Adelaide, even though I may be going to like Elizabeth or Glenelg or something like that. I don't call it the city.
Oh, yeah, but that's referring to the region.
There we go. Sarah's, I'm not the only person that does that.
Sarah's next level country bumpkin.
That's right. Anything
Whereas Reese
down...
is only level one country bumpkin. Sarah's level three.
Why does this podcast...
That's probably some truth to that.
Well, we could tick off the things here.
But seriously...
There's not many cows in Bridgewater.
The town where we're recording this podcast, is just where I live, is... probably a little bit more urbanized.
Yes.
Sort of on the border of that country.
There's
sort
no
of,
paddocks.
Well, there's a paddock about a K over there.
That's right. A K. But, that's right.
A football over is not a paddock.
I'm not talking about the football over. There's actually a farm across the major motorway over just near our house here.
He calls it a motorway. Anyway, back to what we were talking about, Reese.
I'm trying to be relevant to people who might not necessarily be in this area.
That's right. There's lots of trees around here and it's very hilly, which means it isn't good farmland.
And that's why they call it the hills. Now let's get back on topic.
Any other Aboriginal would do that too. So going back to freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech now, yes. That's a segue right there. But
I'm awesome.
But so... to summarise, we all agree that 18C should be there. And these people, these right-wingers, are basically trying to get rid of it because in their minds somewhere they think it is impairing them to say something about someone. And the only thing that I can really see that is impairing them to say something about someone is discriminating against people of different colours, mm-hmm. people who live in different countries, all mm-hmm. that type of thing. It's race.
That's right. It's racism.
And as a country, we do not agree with racism, so I don't understand why they want to repeal this law. Anyway, Uber. You know about Uber? You know what Uber is? What's Uber?
Uber. I thought you
Uber.
Said Booper.
Uber.
Uber. Uber.
Yeah, what's Uber, Sarah?
It's a car sharing company.
Yeah, read my
Where's
seat.
My Uber? Where's my
no,
notes?
No. It is a car sharing company that's doing illegal things. So it's like taxi service. Isn't registered as a taxi service, and so they're ripping people off.
It's a little bit like that. It's not quite exactly like that. They actually have different service levels. There is UberX, which is their sort of discount service level, and that is unregistered because that allows almost any driver, any person who has a car, or a car that's up to a certain mechanical standard, to be a taxi driver, basically. But then there's also Uber Black, which is actually just basically becoming another booking service for limousine companies and chauffeur companies.
So I could be an Uber driver because I have a car that is of good standard?
It depends on the model. I'm not exactly sure if they allow hatchbacks because they might want people who want to go to the airport,
it's
who want to have luggage.
Oh, okay.
So, but I'm not exactly sure on their specifics on the service, but it's basically what they say. It's a car sharing company, ride sharing company, and you have an app on your phone, and you basically have a little map with all the different cars that are going around the place, and then you can tap on the car that's closest to you or automatically do it, and then you can basically say where you want to go, and that ride will come to you. Because the person who's driving will have the same app and it will go, ding, you have this person here. And people go and get their ride and they go somewhere. But there's no money actually exchanging hands in the car. There's no money. So it's actually Uber holds the credit card for you. They're a bit like PayPal in a sense for cabbies, really. But what's happening is that governments are classifying them as taxi services. And... that is sort of illegal. Even though there's no money actually exchanging hands in the car, it's just someone saying, yes, this ride's been received, and then the money gets exchanged after through the online payment transfers. And then basically, the government is basically just going, you're a taxi company, you need to pay your license. And for a taxi, it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars for per car to license it properly. And so these current taxi companies are having a bit of a frustrating time trying to get Uber under control, trying to win their market back, because they want their monopoly, they want their duopoly again, the taxi services. And so basically, here's a little bit of a report from 7:30 about this issue.
Garden City Cabs, can I start with your phone number, please?
This is from our people on the ground in the city and the valley, identifying Uber drivers, because our drivers see that as someone taking money from them.
John Tai is the general manager of Black and White Cabs in Brisbane. He's losing both customers and drivers to Uber, so now he's dobbing the company in to Queensland authorities.
We're recording the day and date of the what we call the offence, the Uber sighting, the time that it happened, the location, whatever street it was.
But emails obtained by 7:30 through a right to information request show the intelligence he's passed on to Queensland's Department of Transport and Main Roads has been completely ignored.
They are not doing anything with the lists of suspect vehicles provided by John Tai or Bill Parker, despite assurances I'd thought that these drivers were at least getting warning letters.
So they'll be getting warning letters for the reasons that they're not a registered taxi, this UberX service in particular, because there's the other services, as I explained. So now, because that very system where you can book the cars, it's a closed system. It's something that Uber can control itself. So Uber can have full control over the booking system, over how they can book the customers who use the cars. And so the Queensland government is actually coming across a little bit of a problem trying to regulate Uber because of that reason.
The Queensland government insists it is taking action, ordering transport inspectors to go undercover as Uber passengers in order to catch drivers. But internal emails reveal Uber is outsmarting the inspectors by tracking their mobile phone numbers and blocking them from using the Uber app.
No covert activity was done today. Uber locked third phone due to penalty infringement notices being issued yesterday. Time was spent purchasing new credit cards, activating Gmail accounts, and setting up two more phones. These phones are the last ones. We'll be ordering additional units.
So that voiceover was of emails being read out, or that the ABC 7:30 program obtained from the Queensland government on memos saying that they can't ping these Uber drivers because they're not picking them up, because Uber's figured out, oh, this phone is one of the authorities, and oh, block. It's just like on Facebook. They're just blocking another user. So, is Uber being ethical here?
I think that Uber drivers should just, you know, get on social media and start a little group to drive people around, like carpooling. Just make friends and drive people places, and then you don't have to worry about authorities because they're just your friends that you're driving to the airport.
Marks, the air your quotation friends marks around friends.
That you give money to drive you places when you're
petrol
drunk.
Petrol money,
that's right. Petrol money. Seriously, if you're going to do something like this, like, there's so many other ways. Just think about it.
I think it's a very clever way that a company is using new technology to enter the market. Yeah, it really is a taxi market to get people from one place to the other.
It is.
But as a taxi driver owner, taxi company owner, I would be very annoyed at this for obvious reasons. It's taking away their market share, and they're not paying the, I suppose, appropriate fees that they feel necessary. So I think it's very smart by Uber, and I think we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But
and also,
I think they've got a little loophole at the moment.
Not necessarily. In some countries they do. But in particular in Australia, where they are having troubles with the law, they've got the backing of two huge shareholders that are in the Uber's pocket. They've got Google, and they've also got Goldman Sachs, which is a big US bank.
Boom, they're done.
And so basically, they have the money to break the law. And I think they're still making a profit off breaking the law. But do you think they should still be running the UberX service in particular?
No, I think they should just stop. I think they've had their fun. They should take it somewhere else and bother somebody else. Because, like, the black and white taxi, that's, you know, an Australian company, I believe. I could be wrong. I believe it is.
The drivers are Australian.
Yeah, no, but
the company has bases. They have base in all the cities that they operate in.
They do, but that you just said that there was a big bank backing them as a shareholder, so the money is not all staying here. It is going.
Well, they are paying employees, and they're paying the drivers for that. I don't see.
But still, there's a bigger business, so above. There's always a bigger person, mm-hmm. and that bank is a higher person, obviously, because it's the one funding it to happen.
But it's all okay if I, as a foreign investor, invest into black cabs as a foreign shareholder, but it's not okay if I do this for Uber.
What do you mean?
Well, as say, if I'm a foreign shareholder, mm-hmm. like Google or Goldman Sachs,
yeah.
and I invest in the black cabs company, the traditional taxi company, that's okay, but I can't invest in Uber. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but on a different level, I suppose. What I'm trying to say is that...
I got you there.
Uber... No. Ooh. Uber is... You know, it's Australian, and, you know, obviously money's in you into Australians, but they're doing it illegally, and that's not cool. And so that gives us a bad name as well. And I know the shareholders will keep going, but in any sort of big business, there's always a higher power, and whether that higher power has money or not, it'll be going somewhere, and that higher power isn't Australian, and Black Cabs doesn't have any sort of shareholders that are interstate.
I don't specifically know, but yeah,
we
it's
don't
still
know.
A company.
We don't know.
It can
know,
be traded.
But yes, it can be traded, but it's not being traded right now. They're doing it all right. They're doing it everything perfectly. Why people use this service that isn't supporting? I suppose because it's cheap and whatever.
Do you think this is in part the government's fault?
Yeah.
On not making it more accessible to be properly regulated.
Yep. Stop wasting time on getting money from Medicare people and start looking at stupid taxi people. Focus on something else, not taking money away from other people.
Well, because it's very expensive to get a taxi up and running, and it can take quite a while to
pay it back.
And so why does it have to be so expensive? Why is it so tightly regulated? I mean, surely, I think Uber does actually have regulations of its own. It does actually self-regulate because it does certain police checks on its drivers to make sure that there's no funny business happening here. There's actually only been one case in India where there has been a claim of rape, which is terrible. But out of the whole system, that's very small.
How many countries are they in?
They're in a very, very large amount. A good chunk of the world now.
So Uber is worldwide.
Uber is a worldwide Australian company. It's not just Australia.
There we go. So it's not Australian. And so that there are other people getting the money. It all goes around.
But is that bad?
Why
is that bad?
It all comes around because they should be supporting Australian business. I suppose I'm just very Australian business orientated.
How aren't they supporting Australian?
Because there's a higher power that's getting more money. Yes, I'm pointing to a higher power right now. I'm pointing up in the sky.
So just what I have here is that they've actually got a better product. The thing is
they have a
better product. It's a bit cheaper than an average taxi. It's more convenient for people these days because it's on their smartphones. And these taxi companies aren't moving. So what's going to happen in your market when you don't move with the times? You're going to get snapped. You're going to get snapped up with all the rest of the market, and you're going to lose. It's simple.
It's true. If I was a taxi company, I'd probably do something similar, where you can locate taxis in your area.
So they should be taking the idea rather than slamming their opposition.
Taking the idea and running with it.
That's right.
Because it's all very telephone-based still. It's still very like, hello, how you doing? I want a cab.
That's right.
So
they do have some taxi apps out there, but they're not as they're not as accurate, I suppose.
And I think
they can't, you know, search for a taxi in the area, as far as I know. You know, talk to the taxi driver type thing.
Well, you're not necessarily talking directly,
but communicate to say that you need a pickup from this area, and that might actually make taxi fares a bit cheaper, which makes it an opportunity for.
That's right.
Then they won't need a whole call centres and all that type of thing.
Crap, to do it.
They don't need.
Somebody can just locate it.
I think it's the taxi company just needs to
maybe
be aware
Uber.
Of its market.
Maybe Uber should be focusing more on licensing its software as a platform.
They probably have already.
Yeah, they should, because if I was any other taxi company that's having a problem with these Uber people, I would be obviously still complaining about it and doing what they're doing, but having another team that is getting software like this to jump on the bandwagon. It's just like when you're trying to sell social media marketing to people, like you can put stuff on Facebook and you can sell things on Facebook and it doesn't need to be an advert like people traditionally think, you know. Older business people don't understand what Facebook is and they don't see it as a big thing. And
not all
this
old
is
people.
Not all older people. But a majority of them don't know, you know, you got to move with the times.
Yes.
And a lot of older people run these sorts of businesses and they don't know because they don't have young people. Like obviously Uber would have younger people.
That's another problem, is that Uber is very much like a startup, although it's very far from a startup, but they take that same culture and they employ younger people that are more knowledgeable in certain areas.
That's right.
And basically, that's why they're getting this new market of people that are just going click, click, done.
That's right. And we are the future. And what we know now, our little kitties are going to know too. So if we're not going to want to call up and be like, hey, I'd like a taxi, I would rather go on an app.
And then you have
and
to
click
try
a
and
button.
Explain someone
yeah,
where
that's
you
right.
are.
Where you live.
Where
I
you
live at this
go.
Address and then I want to go here. Oh, I don't know. Just put it in your little navigation device and drive here and then honk me when you're here. But yes, if I had an option of just clicking a little button on my smartphone to get a taxi to come straight to my house, I'd do that. I don't like calling that much. I like texting people because you don't feel like you're interrupting them as well on a personal level. You know, it's like 8 o'clock at night. You don't really want to call somebody. But just texting, they can read it at their own time. And that's something that the younger generation, like us, that's what we like doing. Texting everybody. I'm sorry, early generation.
We are very antisocial.
But we like texting. Facebooking.
It's easier, actually. It's not.
It is easier.
It takes less time because you don't have to explain where you are, where
that's
you
right.
want to go.
That's right.
And it's easy to pay. Quite simply, it's just easier to pay because it's just tap once and done.
Yeah. Elderly people, older people, not necessarily elderly people, you need to hire us young people because we are the future. And if you don't get that, that annoys me so much. With older people, they're stuck in their ways, which I suppose we will be too when we're old. But you just need to get used to that things are changing and we're future generation. And if you want something to keep going, you've got to hire us.
Yeah,
so we can keep it going for you.
Yeah.
If you love it that much, sometimes you have to let it go into the hands of somebody who can keep it going.
I do like having older people in the staff. I think you have to be diverse.
That's right. You definitely have to have them.
It's just as I said, it needs to be diversity. There needs to be young and there needs to be old because both is the best of both worlds.
That's right. Older people like writing things down, taking things slowly and reading it over. Whereas young people, just text it to me. Just email it to me. I'll read it through it quickly and then I'll write something back to you and it'll be done. We don't really need to think about it that much. Like we can read it pretty quickly because we're used to looking at things on a screen and just scrolling through and taking information in really, really quickly. And that's something that I guess we have up
and apparently
on other
Uber,
generations.
Apparently Uber wants to see a shift in the law so it actually makes them be able to be properly regulated, be legal. So they actually want to be legal, but right now it's just too hard. It is just simply too hard to be able to start something in that market that is so solidly shit.
Because everybody's gone, nobody wants to open up to
Mind you, Uber, I think they have employed a lot of people from that older taxi market, and they do have a few of those old sort of cowboy problems that they get with the business and all that type of thing. But
hey, older people make nice drivers and nice people to talk to. Apparently
they've had this huge controversy, I think it's in San Francisco, everywhere, where there's God mode where you can see all the users on a particular map. So Uber knows where everyone is. But apparently now they've changed it. So they put a press release out a few days ago. I heard this in the news, that they put a press release out saying, we're not spying on you anymore in California. So you're fine in California now.
Okay. So if I ever want to get away from the country bumpkiness, I'll go to California because I know I'm not being watched.
You're not being watched by Uber. Uber is not watching you in
Uber's
God mode.
Not watching me
it's
in
called God mode.
Mode.
You know that?
Okay. Now I know it's called God mode. So we're like, you can get the weather app on your phone and then you scroll out, completely going off topic, but how quickly you can use a smartphone, it's all the same thing. You can just scroll out and you can see the rest of the world and you can see other people checking in on what their weather's like in their country. It's God mode.
Uber, good.
That's the internet.
I need to do this again now. You interrupted me.
Yeah, you
me,
ruined right? it.
So, Uber, good.
Ding.
Regulation. Well, not exactly, but not in the right place.
Yeah.
It's not in the right place.
Still works. Still good sound effects.
Okay. Let's think about ending up the show, shall we?
Okay. Then we'll go do more questions.
I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had to cut you off at the end there, Sarah.
We're going to go do more pranking after this.
Yes, more seriously. Pranking. We're recording another video. So head on over to youtube.com/pranksforkidsarthritis.
That's
all one
a four.
Word.
That's
with
a
the
four.
Number four. With the number four. Mm-hmm. So, and there's also kidsarthritis.org if you want to get a little bit more in depth into the whole issue.
That's right. So. It is a very common issue and we're trying to change the world's view on that kids do get arthritis and it's not just your grandparents that get it. Trust me, it's not.
Yes. Yes, you're very correct there, Sarah.
That's right. Thank you for the little ding.
The little ding. Anything you want to plug, Brett, besides kids arthritis? No,
I just want to say Sarah really had a really big smile when she got that little tick. It took her back to her primary school days.
Ding, oh my God, I gotta get it right.
You got it right.
Oh, he's gonna.
There we go.
Didn't work this time.
Oh, it didn't work. how about this? No?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Yes, okay.
but O'Reilly apparently doesn't like it.
Fucking thing sucks!
Bill O'Reilly, go away.
Bill O'Reilly.
Because you don't like pranking for charity.
You don't. No. Yeah, he's an asshole.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know who that is, but...
Search it in YouTube, you'll know who he is.
Education time. Play the ding sound again. Education time.
So, I would like to thank everyone for being on the show today. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Brett, for the odd interruption.
That's me.
So annoying. No, I'm kidding.
And thank you to myself for doing the show because I've been editing.
Are you
going to
give yourself a pat on the back?
Yeah, well.
He actually gave himself a pat on the back, yes, everybody.
Yeah, pat on the back myself. So if you want to learn a little bit more about this show, you can go to rawcut.com.au. That's our website. Hopefully you know about that website. You downloaded it from here, this show apparently from there. And there's also rawcut.au on all of the social media networks. So all one word, rawcut.au, and you can find us on all of the social medias. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Reece.
Yes. We're a little bit delayed there. Well, I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.